Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities. And today we have our third show, Council of Elders, and the founder is Mr. Jensen Brooks. And, I mean, we got another good show for you guys this morning. And before I go any farther, I'm going to bring Mr. Jensen Brooks on and let him go ahead on and bring the rest of the panel on.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. John Brown. I'd like to give a shout out to you for getting me into this. I had no idea that I was going to be doing a radio show, and I talked to you about an idea that I had, and you said, hey, let's go for it. And so I want to give all props to you. I really appreciate this platform. Now, for everyone that maybe this is their first time listening to the show, I'd like to just summarize the purpose of the show and the purpose of the Council of Elders concept. The purpose of the Council of Elders, which we're proposing here, is for older people, that's elders, to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people, advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, and give advice and counsel. Young people are especially invited to call in today. If we have people 20s, 30s, 40s, if you have something that you would like to bounce off some older folks, then to ask a question. Now, one of the things that I wanted to introduce Mr. Walter Williams from the Birmingham, Alabama area, who is a retired law enforcement person. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today's show is the two-ton elephant in the room, which is the number of unarmed African-Americans who are being... Okay. What's that, John?
Let's let Mr. Joseph Manu and Mr. Williams, let's let them tell the audience a little bit about themselves before we go any farther.
Okay. Of course.
That, and then we get back to what you was saying about the elephant in the room, but we have to get that. Okay, if you don't mind, please.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Mr. Williams.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Walter Williams, Jr. I'm a retired law enforcement executive. My law enforcement experience covers 38 years, beginning with armed services as a military police, followed by municipal law enforcement with the Birmingham Police Department, Birmingham, Alabama, and then serving as the founder and chief of police of Lawson State Community College Police Department, where I served for 22 years. And then following that, going briefly into the Birmingham City School System as their director of safety and security for a 47 school district. So I have a varied array of experience in law enforcement.
All right. Okay, Mr. Joseph Mania.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Brown, and thank you, Mr. Jensen. And Mr. Williams, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Again, my name is Joseph Manuel from Lake Charles, Louisiana. Mr. Williams, I have no warrants, even though I'm a former liar, thief, crook, and all a host of other things I can say, but I'm not. but for the grace of God, that's been behind me now for 37 years. I'm chemical free, and I live righteous life best I can. Not perfect, but I'm improving daily. And That's about it. It sounds like an interesting subject today. I'm going to stop and see if anybody's next or I want to hear it or something. Thank you.
Okay, you can continue now. Oh, I mean, I'm going to tell a little bit about myself. And my name is John L. Brown. I'm the founder of the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And the talk show, the Uplifting Community Talk Show, what we do is we go ahead on, this is a platform for people that does positive things into the communities. And they can come on the on air and let the world know what they're doing, like Mr. Jensen Brooks, for example. He's doing the Council of Elders. That's his program. So he's using Uplifting Communities Talk Show platform so that way he can get his program out, which I think is a beautiful thing. So that's about it for me. Mr. Jensen, you can go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, John. And thanks again for giving me this platform. This would still be in my head had it not been for you getting this out into the universe. I'd like to start off by saying that, just to review, the Council of Elders ultimately would be a group of elders, older people, 60 years old plus, who would have groups who could then collaborate with each other in order to help younger people and or older people too who came to them with questions, with they needed advice, they needed maybe encouragement, they needed you know, a shoulder to cry on, just somebody to love on them. And so it would be sort of like if you would call your parents, you know, when you was young, and just say, "Mama, hey, Daddy, what do you think about this decision I'm about to make?" And they would tell you, you know, their honest opinion about it. Sometimes you wanted to hear it, sometimes you didn't want to hear it, sometimes you did do it, sometimes you didn't do it. But at least you had somebody that loved you that did not have a hidden agenda that could tell you. So that the Council of Elders, my dream is for it to be in various cities and known so that if somebody wanted to get some advice, they could. That's on the drawing board. I'm taking, you know, people's tips and advice. We would want people of integrity who could talk to people and give them honest advice and try to teach them the right way. I was talking to a young 22-year-old person the other night, and it was quite ironic that he called me because he was one of my insurance clients, where his mother is, and she had a policy on him. And he just called me around like 9:30, and I said, "Well, what's up?" You know, he said, "Well, I was just calling. You know, Mom said that you know, she had an insurance policy, and I just wanted to touch bases with you." And I thought, man, this is quite ironic because I had just got done talking to John about the upcoming show, so I got a chance to talk with the young man, find out what he was doing. You know, 22 years old, he's washing dishes at a restaurant called Sizzlers. And I said, "Well, that's good. You're working. You know, you're staying out of trouble. That's good." And then later on in the conversation, he was telling me, "You know, so, you know, Mr. Brooks, I really feel like I'm a failure. You know, I haven't reached my goals." And then And I thought to myself, now here's a young man that's working, staying out of trouble, but he feels bad about himself. So I tried to encourage him, you know, try to say, "Well, you're working, you got a long life ahead of you. Just keep your head up, you know, stay out of trouble." You know, just stuff like that that I would tell my own daughter or my own nephew or whatnot. And so everyone that I've been talking to about this has kind of encouraged me to continue on step by step. They say that a lot of elderly people really have a heart to reach out to young people, but they don't really have the platform. And so the Council of Elders hopefully will fill that void so that they, people would know there's somebody that I can go and talk to. So with that, you know what? A gentleman, I'm going to try to accept the call. I'm going to try to accept the call from a guy that I wanted to talk with today. Let's see.
Okay, tell him to call in. Give him the phone number. The Council of Elders guy.
Well, listen. What I'm going to do, John, I'm going to get off the phone for a second.
I don't know if that's a good idea, Mr. Jensen, because you might not be able to get back in.
Okay. All right. Well, yesterday I talked to
a gentleman. We got quite a few people on board right now, and I mean a lot. So I don't know if I don't know if that's good for you to get off the radio station and then try to get back on, because that's not a good thing. You know,
okay, no worries. I did text him the number to call, so maybe he will give that number a call. But I wanted to kind of discuss something that's in the news.
What is his phone number?
It was that 209 number that I told you about.
Okay, let's see. Hold on. Yeah, it's a 209 number. 200. Okay,
yeah,
text him and tell him to press 1, because I got other people that's trying to get on ahead of him. Matter of fact, we're going to start letting them on now. Oh, okay, that's him. Okay, he already didn't press 1. Okay, I got to let him in through the time they put in. Joe, you want to let the people in, or you want to continue talking?
It's up to you. It's up to you. What I wanted to do, I just wanted to kind of set the stage for the beginning of the conversation today.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the gentleman that is on the 209, you can let him in.
Set the stage, brother. Set the stage.
Okay, all right. Okay, so here's the thing. I did a Google check this morning for a list of unarmed black people that had been shot by the police. It's quite a long list. You know, it goes back – well, this particular list went back to 2014. And so if you look at all of the cases of younger people that's been killed by the police, there's some situations whereby if the victim had made the right choice, he might have lived to see another day. But maybe he wasn't, you know, trained, or maybe he just wasn't thinking, of what some of the steps to take. You know, when we have a tornado, you know, there's certain guidelines they tell you to do. Hey, go jump in the bathtub, or you know, they tell you to take cover. You know, but we need to try to establish some guidelines as to what to do if you confronted by a law enforcement officer, or in a lot of cases lately, the vigilantes who just, you know, they take the law into their own hands. What do you do? I know. Let's see. Several years ago, when Trayvon Martin got killed in Florida, I was at a family reunion when they let that boy Zimmerman off for killing him, and we were talking. The adults was talking, and so my little nephew was there. So he was probably about 9 years old at the time, or something like that, 8 or 9. And so we had say. To him, Sam, what do you think? What do you think? You know what he said? 9 years old. He said Trayvon should have kept on walking. You know, not to diminish it, but what I'm saying is that some of the cases where young people have got killed, they could have been avoided maybe, and some of them not. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Walter Williams, that Mike could share some light on this so that we could come up with some guidelines as to what to tell young people in case they're confronted by the police so that they can live to see another day.
Okay. Years ago, when I was still in municipal policing, the City of Birmingham Police Department put out a little manual, what to do when stopped by police. And it was basically, since the City of Birmingham was a predominantly black city, the largest city in the state of Alabama. And shortly afterwards, when I went to become the chief of police at Lawson State Community College, God put me in that setting because I had a chance to influence the lives of a lot of young people, college-age people. And so I adopted that and started teaching it in a little forum that each college would have. They have a little old forum, a little 1-hour class that they would have to take. And so I would teach what to do when confronted by police. And basic thing is to start off with respect. First of all, a law enforcement officer has the right and authority to take control of your life. That don't sound good, but it is absolutely true. When stopped by a police officer, the first thing you should do is to remain calm. Don't do anything. Just remain calm. When asked the question, answer the question. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Be direct. Answer the question in a calm voice. Even if there seem to be escalated, you have to remain calm. You have to follow the directions of the police officer. Even when you don't feel like you should, you need to follow the direction of the police officer. Once you do those things, the police officer is in control. I don't know. I don't care how you feel about it. The police officer is in control. Once you do that, 9 times out of 10, you will live to see another day. Your attitude determines your altitude. In other words, your attitude will determine your outcome when faced with being stopped by police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you think about that, Joseph?
Observations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a lot of fight with a lot of cops, so I don't know. Let me see. Again, I'm Joe from Lake Charles. I understand exactly what the officer's saying. And I had a hard time being a young man. I didn't like cops for different reasons. And I know my father would tell me, Joe, that at the time you're supposed to be nice and talk polite. I said, well, Daddy, I can't. The way they treated y'all and stuff, you know, man, I can't do that. I didn't know how. I had this anger. It was like an ancestor anger. And some of the things I've seen in my daily life, the discrimination, in the lowest paying of jobs, and being treated unfairly, even there. So I had all this anger, man, and it got me nowhere. It got me nowhere. You know, I didn't know how to deal with people that had anger themselves or had issues. You know, they came to me with fire, shot fire back. You know, and it took, you know, it cost me some time, you know, even some times in jail, a few times in jail. But it wasn't until, you know, I caught sort of had a spiritual awakening. I'm not going to go into that story. But I learned to find some peace from within and not to listen to my mind, you know, that when I am dealing with somebody, and a lot of times police officers are, I've done some security guard work at a larger job center, Cook Center on the University, man. We had a lot of stressful kids, a lot of issues. And, you know, they approached us, you know, as security, you know, with some, you know, different anger mentality. But I learned how to handle that. It's only through God's grace that when a person is angry, his approach, if I'm not, you know, if I'm not careful, you know, and he would say something in a way I thought was disrespectful or however I received it. If I acted the way he was, then we wasn't going to get nothing accomplished but anger, more anger and confusion and arguing and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But I learned how to stop. I learned something when I was in this place, to how to treat a sick person. So after that, you know, when a person would approach me, if it's a cop, whoever, I would look at them as, this is a sick person. How could I be of help? And if it was a police officer, whoever, well, first thing I need to do is be, like the gentleman said, be calm, quiet, and listen, and let them get it off, you know. And once, you know, and sometimes, I mean, that kind of work is stressful work sometimes. Sometimes you can go off the helm, you know, and, not meaning it, but it can happen. From a previous incident or a previous day, that can happen. But I think, you know, our young men have to be connected with something inside of them that's greater than mine, you know, and learn how to deal with another person's anger, that let them vent, and you stay calm. You know, and in both cases, that will calm the whole incident, and you answer calm. You know, it's like you're saying, that is true. But our young people, man, have to find a way to deal with this anger and frustration that they have inside of them first. That's already up in the mind, you know what I mean? They're waiting to explode. So, you know, I think with the elders organization, we have to find a way to get them to find out who they really are from within, and kind of get rid of all that stuff that, you know, we carry around from our ancestral past and the past that we've been. And that takes some time, but it takes some guidance.
And yeah,
that's
you're
what
right
I
about
admire.
That,
yeah. I admire by Mr. Jensen's program is very much needed, man. And it's a simple thing. I hope we can get off the ground and I can be of help. You know.
All right, then that was Mr. Joseph Manu from Lake Charles, Louisiana. And you are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show and the Council of Elders Program. The founder is Mr. Jensen Brooks. And what we're going to start doing right now is start bringing some of the people on. We got quite a few people want to either ask a question or elaborate on something. So let's start bringing them on. Okay, is that all right with you guys, panel? Is that okay?
Sure.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Okay, caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Press one. Okay, let's go to another one. Okay.
Hello.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Dr. Sunday Oyewole from Sacramento, California.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, this is the gentleman that was telling you about I talked to, and he's familiar with Council of Elders from Nigeria. And
okay.
My name is.
If I can. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yeah,
my name is Dr. Okay, my name is Dr. Sunday Oyewole. I'm a friend of Brother Brooks. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm glad to call in. I've been in the United States for over 40 years. I'm a doctor in health administration. I work for the city of California for almost 10 years. The state of California for about 10 years in health administration. Before I retired, and I worked for University of California for 10 years. And prior to that, I worked for Kaiser Organization for 10 years. But I work in different capacity. And before I retired in 2018. So I've been in the United States, like I said, for almost 40 years, and it's going to be 40 years actually next year. And when I talked to Brother Brooks yesterday, it was just I was just excited that something like this, when he introduced the topic of Council of Elders to me, it kind of resonated with me because that's where I grew up. I grew up getting advices from elders when I was growing up, and I was actually very little. I didn't even know the values of what the Council of Elders, what they used to do in the village setting. Even when my father took me out of a village setting and took me to the city, that kind of a culture of reliance on elders to guide youth and young adults, it never resonated with me until when I had to do the same thing for my own children. And so I was telling Brother Brooks yesterday that it became something valuable for me because my own children, my nephews and nieces are dependent on me because it was just like a cultural renaissance, because now my children and my distant relatives saw the value in calling me and asking me for advice. So it's just a joy. This is something that our community, our young adults, our youth, this is something that is really needed, and I've seen it firsthand through the interactions with the City of Sacramento Department of Health Services. So anyway, I'm not going to waste your time, and I'm just glad to be a part of this.
Oh, wow, that's so in other words, what you're telling the audience is that in Nigeria, this has been going on for quite some time.
For a very long time. This is a generational thing. It's part of the culture where
okay.
I grew up.
Mm-hmm. And you know one thing, I agree with you, sir. I really agree with you. And the reason for that is because we talk about Council of Elders, but if we go back, well, then it was the same thing, and especially in the African-American communities in the South. They taught their young people, the older women taught the young girls how to, certain things, how to cook, how to sew. I think I brought that up once before. They taught them certain things. The men taught young boys how to do certain things. And then as time progressed, they got away from that. Like the young boy was on their own. The young girls was on their own. But, and I know where it come from, Africa. Because, us as African Americans, that's where we come from. We come from Africa. Yeah. So I understand, and I'm so glad you came on this show to bring that up to people. I am so glad. Okay, well, let's let somebody else on, y'all. Let's see if I can get this person back on. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Kwame. I'm calling you from Georgia.
How you doing?
I'm very grateful. I'm sorry I couldn't get through. I forgot I had muted the phone when you were asking me to speak, and I realized that it was muted, so I had to unmute my phone, And I'm very grateful to hear this. I found this show by divine order. And I listened to the May 2nd and the May 9th show and listened to what you all were implementing. And I commend, brother, for bringing about what is traditionally our way. It's part of our culture. What it's called is rites of passage. And what they had was womanhood training. And this has been a thing because I was raised in Chicago. I retired from FedEx. I'm 69. And this has become a way of life. I worked my last 10 years down here in Georgia, transferred from Chicago. And I worked towards being able to do what I love to do, and that's help to teach, because when you define, Dr. Anthony Menza was a Ghanaian who taught the Hon Hon tradition. And there are many African scholars that have come here and have done what you're doing now in presenting rites of passage or elder councils. You know, we even had here in Atlanta with the scholars, it's called the Jegna Collective. The Jegnas are the teachers that are in the universities and different places that teach. You know, as the brother said, that he's in law enforcement. So we say it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes each one of the elders in that village to help to direct that child. Because what we do as elders is we teach, but we, an elder is one who helps to help one to discover who he is and what he was born to do. That's what an elder's charge is. And so what you're doing with being able to put this in place and even teaching from an African perspective, but I've also studied indigenous spirituality and teachings, and they have rites of passage. And so what we're seeing now in this time of pandemic, which is really pandemic is an acronym for people are not in control. And when we're not in control of our communities, we have this disarray and confusion that we see going on now. And it was very excellent that you did the research and looked at how many young men have been shot by police forces and because they didn't know how to interact. And the thing that we're doing, it's the responsibility of the elders in being able to direct that young man as he comes into manhood and begin to give him the things to help him to find out three things that a man comes in the world to do is to provide, to protect, and to profess. A woman nurtures and directs. They say when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. When you educate a man, you just give him something to think about. So my thing is,
throw them jewels, man. Throw them jewels around.
But that's
right.
That's the part, and I love the brother from Louisiana, because when I heard him on the two shows, and I'm going like, wow, he got 37, you know, and I've been in the program for 39 years, you know, clean and sober.
All right.
And so the thing for me is when I came home from Vietnam is when I really lost it, because I got introduced to drugs and other things that I had already been introduced, becoming from a family that a father that wasn't there to teach me how to be a man. So I see the importance of manhood training, and I've run rights programs. I mean, I'm working on what's called now the Overground Railroad, and I'm seeing what Harriet Tubman did in being able to take those our African ancestors off of those plantations and take them through nature and to introduce them to their freedom. What I see now is the part that we have the urbanization plantations now converting into smart cities, that we have to get our people back to the land and begin to create what is called an oasis. An oasis is nothing but a place of our ancestor spirit that's in service. We have to begin to each one teach one. And the brother in Alabama, I know a sister's got 47 acres over there, has got Victory Garden. She used to teach at Tuskegee. And she has a training program in which she's teaching young people how to she's teaching those young seeds how to plant seeds to provide their own needs. And these are things that is our way. This is our culture, because you define a people by land, history, and culture. And this is what my elder taught me, Dr. John Henry Clark. And so what I'm feeling and what you're offering, only thing I say is, you know, I've got a bunch of, I mean, I've been doing this for the past 25 years. And the thing is that whatever way can help in helping you, because all we got to do is retread the tire and keep that black steel belted radio rolling down the road.
That's right. Wow. Powerful. You say you're a Vietnam veteran?
Yes.
Okay. What year was you in Vietnam?
I was in Nam in Cameron Bay, 69-70. I was in the Brownwater Navy. I started off on an LFR, and then I went to PBRs. running up and down the Saigon River.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm a Vietnam vet too, and I was there at the same time.
Yeah, right.
I was out of Cameron. Yeah, I know where Cameron Bay at. I was with the Marines. I fought around Mother's Ridge, DMZ, Ashaw Valley, round up in that area.
Well, yeah. We ran from Cameron all the way up to YRBM 21, which was a few clicks off from Cambodia border, going up to Saigon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, the only thing I can say, brother, welcome home. We made it.
Well, hey, we made it. But
we made it
because now we've got to fight a cultural war, and this is what the Creator has given you, this insight that awakened your Akashic record to say, hey, I need to get our people back together, and we as elders have to do this, because the only thing you got from being an elder is become an ancestor, and what will be your legacy, and how will you be remembered?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And what's your name, sir?
Kwame, my name is Jimmy Lackey, but my African name of initiation, because I was born on Saturday. And you have a day name, and in that part of the process of learning who I am, I had to learn that the day in which I came on the earth was the name in which gave me part of my character. I'm a defender of the past, one who brings peace to troubled waters. And so it's identifying that part of who I am, because we question, our young people are questioning. You ask most young people when they meet each other, what's the first thing they say to each other? What's happening, man? What's going on? They're questioning because they can't greet because they don't know themselves.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. Well, you know, Mr. Quanin, I really appreciate you calling in. Every Saturday, we're going to be doing this here until further notice. The same time, same phone numbers. We would love for you to continue calling in, because what you got to bring to the Council of Elders is a lot of knowledge. And we got quite a few people listening in, y'all.
All right.
Can I say something real quick, John?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask Brother Kwame. I wanted to spend a small amount of time today talking about Kwanzaa, the seven aspects of Kwanzaa. Perhaps next week, if you call in, you can, tell the folks a little bit about that. That's something that it's not really stressed enough, in our community, and I wish the brother had put it around maybe in the summertime rather than right after Christmas, because a lot of people get it.
No,
sort of.
He followed the Kemetic teachings of what's called the first harvest, and those last 7 days of the year is in order to use those principles to direct you to do those seven principles for the next year, because that's the ending. That's what he got it from the Hosea. And Jake Carruthers and Anderson Thompson at the University, Kemetic University in Chicago, that was his cousin that gave him that information, that he came back to Cali and did that, because, Milana was part of us, which was at the same time that the Panther Party started.
Oh, okay. Well, for lack of time, this week, might not get it, but if you call in next week, we'd like to give you a little time if it's okay with John.
It's up to you. You the man, Mr. Jensen. Not up to
right,
me.
Right,
it's
right,
up
right.
To
okay,
you.
Well, yeah. Nick, brother, Kwame, next week, I'd like to ask you to just go over the seven aspects
the
of Kwame so that we.
I could give you the history of it, the seven principles, all of the symbology of everything, what is meant in it, in doing the ceremony of what it represents, even to the part of the ear of corn representing each kernel is part of the family tree of life that we keep seeding and reproducing, is why it's used as a symbol in the ceremony.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, for lack of time this week, got a lot of callers, but I'd like to invite you back to kind of go over that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we got quite a few callers still online. We might not be able to get to all of them. So let's let another one in. Okay. Y'all ready to have them come on in?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name's Charles Woods. I'm calling from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. I'm originally from Aliceville, Alabama, so Jansen and Walt, we was classmates. We grew up together.
Classmates.
Went to college together, roommates in college. So when he called me about this, it was something I was really interested in.
Okay.
Give you a little bit of my background. I retired from the Tennessee Valley Authority. I did about 28 years as a program analyst, system analyst. Then after that, I kind of got into the financial part of the business, working with MetLife, Aflac. I do a little work now with USAA part a couple of days a week. But done a lot of things. We've been around for a long time, so a lot of the things that are going on, we've seen all that. I remember back when I was in high school, the last year, that was the first year they kind of forced the integration. And I remember taking an ID card. I had to get an ID to take the ACT ACT exam. The guy, the principal, he held up my picture and he said, the only thing missing is the prison number. So, you know, this about the prison killing us and all these things, this stuff been going on for ever since we've been around. And we have people that got the knowledge, the experience and stuff all over the country that can help us. Now, when we was coming up, we didn't have that. You know?
That's right.
So this is a wonderful thing that we're doing here. And it's about the only way we may be able to save our community.
Right.
Nobody else seems
That's
to care
right.
about our
We can
community.
Do it. Oh, my
yes,
God,
we,
man. I am so
yes.
glad you called in, too, brother, because, you know, like, hey, you're so right, man. This is one of the ways to save our communities, Council of Elders.
That's you may need to call Oprah Winfrey and go on her show.
Well, you know one thing, though? That's possible.
I know
how to contact her, too.
There you go.
That's possible. Now, if she'll contact you back, that's the thing.
Yes. But like I said, this is a great thing. And with all the, like the guy was calling from Georgia, that we got connection all over the country. There are people that have been there, they got the experience and stuff. And what usually happens with us, we just die with all that knowledge and take it to the grave. We got to have some of that back. You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I can see with, you know, the really advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people are missing this. And they have no one to go to, a lot of single family homes. We had elderly parents. We had the male figure there. So, you know, in a lot of our cases, we're going to have to beat those male figures for the people that don't have that.
That's right, sir.
Amen.
100%
right.
Right,
right.
Okay, well, okay, I'm let another person in.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you, baby.
I can hear him on the background.
And they're a little busy right now.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Mr. Jensen.
Yeah, I'm here. Just really, you know, John and everybody's listening. You guys really have got me to thinking that I'm so glad that we're doing something like this, and I am pleasantly surprised at the number of people that want to do this, and like Brother Charles said, we don't want to die with all this knowledge in our head, you know. And a lot of the kids, I know a young person I was talking to the other night. he referred me affectionately as OG. I don't know if y'all know mm-hmm. that terminology.
Yeah, old guy. Old guy.
I hate that one. Yeah.
But
I thought it was old gangster.
Yeah, well, I think mm-hmm. when that movie Original Gangster, either old guy, what it amounts to is an old guy. But but a lot of them say that to us affectionately. They say it with respect. Now maybe some
right.
of them are mocking, but a lot of the youngsters are willing to listen. You know, if they got a platform. One of the problems is there's not much of a platform, you know, for them.
Yeah.
So the dream is, you know, in every community to have a council of elders so that they could reach out to elders, you know, the one that wanted to. And like I was saying last week, the council of elders, we're not trying to be doctors or lawyers. You know, somebody, you know, need medical help, we would refer. They need mental help, we would refer them to a psychologist. Or if they need legal help, we refer to them a lawyer. But it's just the common things that you know, people run into. Sometimes they just want to bounce it off another adult, somebody that's been there and done that, you know. I stepped off into this about a month ago, and I'm just being pushed and just encouraged to keep it up. And at some point, I would like to get a sort of list of the people that's calling in. The brother from Atlanta, of course, Walter Charles, some type of list so that we can communicate. And of course, next Saturday, same time, we're going to be doing this again. So,
okay. Now that's
that
fine. I'm gonna let everybody know on the air. Your phone number is not kept, okay? Because I have to protect your privacy. Okay.
Yeah.
And I cannot give out your phone number. I would never give out your phone number. I see everything. Who called? Well, not your name, but your phone numbers, and I can't give that out. But if you want to give that out to the, you can. Okay.
I can give everybody my email, and they can.
And you can email. That's right. That's the way we normally do
best
it.
Safe to do it. That's
you know,
the best way
is
to do
the, that's safe because you know it's people. Be listening in on this talk show, Uplifting Communities talk show, from overseas, from Africa. People are listening from the Bahamas, the UK, all over the United States. Okay, so
can I say something right quick when you get through?
Yeah, so we can't give out nobody's phone number, but please, you know, if you guys want to give out your email, that's fine, you know. That's fine. But I can't give out your phone number. If you want to give it out, fine. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, well, I wonder if we can attach it to the I see you advertising on the Facebook. If we can attach our number to that. I don't have a problem sharing mine. I mean, it's already invaded anyway. But
right.
I just want to share the importance of Mr. Is it Jason? The program, man. I remember years ago when I got clean, I used to go to my old neighborhood, the Crackhead Park. A lot of my best friend hung out there, and I was trying to save him. I never could. But anyway, I'd go out there for like 10, 15 minutes, share some things, man, and I got to get away from there. I can't stay, you know. And I remember 6 years later, I'd moved to Indiana, moved back to Louisiana. This young lady, I was a butcher working in a meat market. A young lady walked in there and said, "Mister, I've been looking for you for a long time." I'm like, "What?" I didn't recognize her. She said, "I said, yes, ma'am. For what?" She said, "Well, you used to come by the park years ago." She said, "And you came out there to meet this guy, and it was my friend." I said, "Yeah, it was my buddy, you know." She said, Well, one day you was there and you said something. She said, and it changed my life forever, and I've been looking for you to share this with you. She said, I was on that stuff out there with him on that crack. I lost my kid. She said, I've been wanting to thank you because it changed my life. I've got my kids back. I'm about to graduate from college. Man, it was like I hit a Powerball, a lottery. I was so happy and filled with joy. I said, ma'am, I wish I could remember what I told you. I'd write it down and put it in a book and sell that sucker. But,
right.
But it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It had to be something greater than me to open your eyes and make such a transform in your life and to even get your kids back. I am so happy for you, man. I mean, this is how important your program is, Mr. There's a lot of youngsters out there that need us with different things, man. And I just hope we can get it going before, you know, we leave this world like the other gentleman said. Thank you. Thank you, bro.
All right. Well, we got we got 8 minutes left before the show ends, and I want to let Mr. William come on. So, Mr. Williams, if you got anything positive to say to to the people that's listening and or to the world, could you please go ahead on? You got 1 minute. To say it, and then after that, Mr. Brooks, it'd be your turn to take the floor to tell the audience, say something positive to the people, and then Mr. Brooks, I would like for you, since you the owner of the account, not owner, well owner, founder, whatever, of the Council of Elders, could you, end us with a prayer after you say something positive to the world.
Yes, sir, I sure can.
Okay, go ahead on Mr. Williams.
Thank you for once again. The positive thing that I want to let young people know as far as when you are confronted by law enforcement, and I heard a lot of things that were true beforehand about so much anger within. I know we all have had that. It's not – even Jesus got angry, but he didn't sin. And it's the same thing with us. We can have anger, but you got to know how to channel it in a positive direction. When you are confronted by police, the best thing in the world to do is to obey. We have a problem with that in our culture. We don't want to obey. Yes, we got questions. We want to question everything, but that's not the time for that. That is the time to obey the lawful commands of a police officer. No, I do not condone the actions of a lot of police and police departments, and I would like to see a lot of things changed on the other end of that. But we are focusing in on now the number of black lives that are being lost because when they are confronted by law enforcement, they don't know how to respond. If you respond in an antagonistic way, you're going to get treated in an antagonistic way. Whether that's right or wrong, good or bad, that's a fact. Don't do it. Comply. Put all that stuff aside. Do what the officers asked you to do. Chances are it will mitigate anything negative happening to you, and you get a chance to live another day and teach the next person according to your experience and how to mitigate it just in case they are stopped. That's the best information I can give you. I got a lot more, but I know we are limited to time, so that's my message for today.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Jensen.
Yes, sir. All right. I see we got about 3 minutes. And let me just say to summarize, you know, about the Council of Elders, some people may not have gotten in, but the purpose of the Council of Elders is for older people to give advice, counsel, and life experience to younger people. Advice that can help them navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, encourage, etc. And so I would just like to thank everybody for tuning in today. I know there's a lot of experience here, and ultimately some people that's calling from different cities, perhaps you can start a council of elders in your town or your city. Right now, this is in the beginning stages, but this is something that right now, just keep tuning in every Saturday at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11 Pacific time. And I just want to thank everybody for calling in today. And
Mr. Jensen, I wanted to announce something before you go into the prayer, before you close this out into the prayer. Okay, go ahead on and finish, and then let me know when you're ready for me to come in.
Well, I want to give people my email address, okay? And you can email me, because I like to start maybe a list of folks that's calling in. We got a lot of experience here. So my email,
Your email.
4 minutes.
It's jensenbrooks@yahoo.com. That's jasenbrooks@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And
right.
With that, I'm going. Ready for your prayer,
okay.
Brother?
Okay. Well, hold on. I wanted to let everybody know that Uplifting Communities Talk Show, we're going to be doing a mask drive for Nairobi, Kenya. So if anybody, I'll be letting you guys know next week where to send the mask to, okay? And because a lot of people in Nairobi are kids and stuff is past dying, and because they don't have masks, they don't have anything. So we're going to be doing a mask drive, okay? We're going to be doing that for about 3 weeks. Okay, and I'll let you guys know where to send the mass at and stuff like that so we can send it up there. Okay, back to you, Mr. Jensen Brooks. Please close us out with a prayer.
Father God, thank you for this gathering today, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless this effort to try to teach our young people and guide our young people and keep them on the right track so that they can be successful human beings. Lord, I want to thank you for all that's tuned in today. Lord, I ask you to bless and keep them. Lord, I ask you to anoint their lives. Ask you to keep them safe, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, amen. Thanks, everybody, for calling in this morning. To give us your morning time, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I would ask God to bless every last one of us and everybody that's listening in. Thank you all again, and with that said, if nobody have nothing else to say, y'all enjoy your
day.
Well,
I just wanted to tell everybody to tune in, you know, next week, and let's keep this going, and if there's any younger people that have issues that they want to bring up to the elders, please, no problem. Call in and say so.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, all. Okay. We'll
right.
talk later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.